Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to www.rabble.ca/donate.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Hi, you're listening to Election Sound Up for Tuesday, October 13th, 2015. I'm Victoria Fenner, and I'm going to be talking to you again with Carl Nirenberg, our parliamentary reporter. Well, the advance polls are over. Quite a good turnout by most reports. Things didn't go exactly what you describe as smoothly. A harbinger of things to come next week on Election Day? Maybe. Probably. So to begin today's conversation, Carl wants you to know that you can still vote today, even if you miss the advance polls. This is important. If you don't get out today, you need to wait for Election Day. Here's Carl to explain.
Today, Tuesday, October 13th, is the last chance to vote before Election Day, October 19th. You can vote at any of the 400 Elections Canada offices across the country. There's at least one for every single federal riding. There are 338 federal ridings. And there's 62 extra Election Canada offices, so some very big ridings have more than one. And you can vote at any of those offices, and you can find out from the Elections Canada website where the office is for your riding. You don't have to vote in the office in your own riding. You can vote at any Elections Canada office, and you'll still be voting in your own constituency. And all you need is the required ID that you would normally bring to vote. You don't need that card that you get in the mail. That's called the voter information card. The purpose of that card is only to tell you where to vote on voting day. It's a good idea to bring it, but it's not absolutely necessary. So, for instance, if you're at the office and want to vote near your office, and that's very far from your constituency, you can vote at the nearest Elections Canada office to your own office. This is especially important for people who didn't manage to vote during the advance polls. Maybe the lines are too long, but expect that they might not be able to be here on Monday, October 19th, this coming Monday. This is their last chance, but it's only until 6 o'clock today. It's called a special ballot, and you'll actually write in the name of your candidate, probably, but it doesn't matter. It's a ballot anyway. It's a perfectly legitimate ballot. It will be counted, and you can vote.
So today, then, like, I voted by special ballot myself, where you write in the name. So I knew that that was possible, but I didn't realize that what the timeline was. So today is the final day for the special ballot, and the advance polls are over. That's the way it works now?
Advance polls were over as of yesterday, Thanksgiving Day. That was the last day. And today is the very last chance to vote by special ballot. After that, you have to vote in the actual election on Election Day, October 19th.
Okay, so that is clear then. So now there's a whole bunch of changes that are just being tried out right now. How do you think the whole, quote, Fair Elections Act, how do you think that it's all turning out? What are you noticing?
So far, so bad. What people like me predicted is happening, at least to some extent. That is that the new and excessive and unfair ID requirements are making it difficult for some people to vote, discouraging some people from voting despite the high turnout. And some people who have the right to vote are being turned away. So it is a problem.
And where are those problems coming from? Is it just staff aren't being well trained, or is it vagueness in the rules, all of the above?
Well, people just don't know the rules, and the rules were written in a way that is deliberately meant to discourage people. They were deliberately written in such a way as to seem complicated and complex, and I think that was the intention of Pierre Poilievre, who quite deliberately wanted to discourage people from voting, especially Aboriginal people, poor people, homeless people, young people, people who are the less likely voters, and certainly the people who are less likely to vote for the Conservatives. So here are the rules. Here is what you need to know. Take this down. You can vote with one P piece of ID if you have a current photo driver's license. That accounts for 85% approximately of Canadians. That's a lot of people. It leaves out 15%, and 15% is something like 4.5 million voters, which is more voters than you have in all of British Columbia, more voters than all you have in all of the city of Montreal. I think it is even more voters than you have in all of the city of Toronto. So it is a lot of voters. But still, 85% of people who have that valid driver's license with their photo and with their current ID, that's all you need. If you don't have that, what you have to do is bring two pieces of ID, one of which must have your address. But it is not necessary that either of those pieces of ID have your photo. That is not necessary. Many of the temporary staff that Elections Canada hires for the election period are ignorant of that fact, and they were telling people who brought two pieces of ID that one of those pieces of ID had to have their photo, and trying to send some people away. There was a story in the Saskatoon Star-Phoenix about that, and the woman in question insisted, and then she won her case. When I went to do my special ballot, the young staff there absolutely believed that you had to have at least one piece of photo ID. I happened to have the driver's license, so I was just asking them what they would require of other people, and they didn't know. And then an older person, a more senior and experienced person, came up and said, "Oh, no, that's not true. You can have two pieces of ID, and it doesn't. Neither piece must have your photo." And a piece of ID could even include something like an invoice or a bill on your smartphone or tablet or a laptop computer. You don't even have to have it in paper. Elections Canada on its website lists all the possible ID you can bring. The only important thing is that if you don't have a driver's license, one of your pieces of ID must have your address. I think it is still very unfair and very complex, and it's going to be difficult for some people, but you can do it, and you can make sure to get the ID, because you can even get a letter from somebody who runs a student's residence or somebody who runs a soup kitchen or something like that. But, you know, the whole thing was meant to make it more complicated, and it's very unfair. For one thing, it discriminates against those millions of Canadians that don't happen to have a driver's license, so that's not fair at all.
I was talking to my niece who voted for the very first time on the weekend, and she said that it's unnecessarily complicated, too, for students who are not living in their home riding. That's what she found really difficult.
No, it is definitely complicated for students. I met a student in Toronto who said she didn't. She was a young person in Toronto. She's no longer studying. She was working as a waitress in a restaurant. And she said, well, her driver's license still gives her parents' address where she used to live in Barrie. So she wasn't going to vote because she didn't have a driver's license with her address on it. I said, no, you can bring other ID. You don't have to have a driver's license. There's lots of other ID, but she didn't know about that. Many people are confused because they think, oh, I have a passport with my photo on it, and the passport's an official government ID, and they bring the passport. And they don't realize that Pierre Poilievre cleverly put in this requirement you have to have your address on the ID. I never looked at my passport until that time, until I was following the Fair Elections Act as it went through Parliament, and I looked carefully at my passport and I could not find my address on it, and that's because it does not have your address on it. And believe it or not, your health card doesn't have your address on it. And I think they do that because you only get a passport once every, 4 or 5 years, so you might move in the interim period, and you only get a health card once every decade or even more. So people could definitely move during that period, so they don't want to put information onto a card that will become outdated. Your driver's license is renewed every year or every 2 years, so it always has your address. It's the only government ID that most people will have that has your address. There are a few provinces, small provinces, that happen to have some kind of provincial government ID, but for the vast, vast majority of Canadians, the only piece of government-issued photo ID they will have with their address is their driver's license.
Right. Now, I'm looking at the problems that happened at the advance poll, which were long lineups and staff giving contradictory information, and makes me think that this is a harbinger in terms of what could happen and probably will happen on Election Day, right?
And I privately and off the record spoke to some Elections Canada people, so I won't quote them directly, and I certainly won't quote them by name, but I did get intimations that they're concerned about training issues. When I went to vote, the young person who had been hired for 3 months to work the election had in his brain all kinds of television police and spy drama security issues, as though there are massive networks of people out there trying to steal people's identity, and how we had to treat this as some kind of like uber ultra high top secret process where you had to be put through an incredibly, incredibly complex identity process to be allowed to vote. And of course, the whole thing made me laugh a little bit. And I thought, for the vast, vast majority of my life until two or three elections ago, I never had to show any ID. When I tried to show ID, when I tried to vote, and the first time I voted was in 1966, so it's a long time ago, they wouldn't even take my ID. They wouldn't look at my ID. They would just ask me my name and cross it off the voters list. Somehow we ran elections in this country without a single piece of ID requirement for most of our history without any problem. Marc Mayrand, the chief electoral officer, says we've never had complaints about identity theft. We've never had complaints that people turned up to vote and somebody has stolen their identity and voted in their place. It doesn't happen. The problem in Canada is that we've had political entities trying to confuse people about where to vote and try to tell them lies and give them, make, you know, use robocalls to tell them to vote in the wrong place and that sort of thing. We've had that. That's the we had the problem of efforts on the part of some groups to deter people from voting. We've never had this problem, this sort of ballot box stuffing problem or people stealing identity problem. So the whole emphasis on identity is completely misplaced. But unfortunately, some of these young people, apolitical people, people who can't tell you the name of the prime minister, people who aren't interested in politics, aren't interested in public matter, public policy, who get a job for 2 months and it pays them, but you know, their heads are full of science fiction programs or American spy programs, or they've heard vaguely from the government about terrible security problems, and then they become like, you know, you put a uniform on a person and they become a little dictator, and they like to tell people that that they're wrong and they can't vote. And they have definitely been turning away people who were qualified to vote, or somebody comes with a passport and they simply say, go away, that's no good, and don't explain to him or her, this passport is good, just bring something else like a credit card bill or a check that has your address on it, and you'll be able to vote. They are not trained. Elections Canada is a wonderful institution. I have great respect for Marc Mayrand. They have been slandered by this government through the whole Fair Elections Act process, but just by, you know, maybe a lack of resources or by happenstance, the people they're training all the way across the country have the completely wrong idea, and they're trying to turn themselves into little pettifogging dictators in many cases who see it as their job to stop people from voting, not facilitate people in voting. And the people I've spoken to at Election Canada headquarters are concerned about that, and I hope they pull their socks off and really put a full press court on and say, our point is to get people to vote, not stop them from voting. Right. You've got to bend over backwards, triple backflips to do that, not the other way around, and try to discourage people.
Okay, so now we have less than a week before Election Day next Monday. Any last-minute words you would like to share with us as we head up into the final lap?
Well, the last piece I wrote for Rabble, I know that is so-called progressives across the country are sort of agonizing between the Liberals and the NDP. And certainly the Liberal program, in my long, long experience of watching politics, I've never seen a program from the Liberal Party that looks this progressive on paper. I'll be very honest about that. I mean, I never really expected to see an election in which the Liberal Party was suggesting raising votes, taxes on the 1% of income earners, and the NDP was not, in which the Liberal Party said, the important fact is the debt-to-GDP ratio, not whether or not we have a deficit in a given year. And the NDP said we're going to have a balanced budget because we're not going to put debt on the back of future generations, which is always the line of small-c conservatives. But so it has led to some confusion, and the NDP, in my view, may have made a mistake in trying to be overly moderate once they were ahead in the opinion polls. And I think the NDP was getting credit for taking a principled stand in C-51, and they should have taken a principled stand on the economy and the possibility that in the short term, a government that sought to invest in people might actually run a deficit from time to time. That's not the end of the world. But given that, you also have to remember the political DNA of the parties, and the Liberal Party is the party that refuses to set targets for climate change because of its tightness with the corporate world. And it is the Liberal Party that, in the era of Jean Chrétien and Paul Martin, that did promise hope and optimism in 1993, and then that brought in the most severe austerity program we've seen in generations. Following that, quite unnecessary, because Canada got out of its debt and deficit position and got into robust economic growth because our neighbors to the south were doing that. And but, you know, I happened to be working at the CBC at that time. Those are the biggest cuts the CBC had experienced in generations, the Liberal cuts of Paul Martin and Jean Chrétien. Now the Liberals say they're going to reinvest in the CBC. So it's not a question of only looking at the actual black and white of the program of a party, but what the party's all about. The other issue is as well to look at where you live. If you're living in Francophone Quebec, voting for a Liberal may actually help a Bloc or Conservative candidate win. If you're living in Vancouver Island, or if you're living in Saskatchewan, or if you're living in Edmonton, certainly parts of Edmonton, it may be the same thing. Even certain parts of Toronto. I mean, what would be the point of voting for a Liberal against a good NDP member like Craig Scott in Toronto, or another good NDP member like Megan Leslie in Halifax? But we're getting that. So it is a worrisome election, and it's certainly worrisome for those of us who can countenance the Liberals winning the election. But if the Liberals were to get a majority, we'd worry that they'd do what Jean Chrétien and Paul Martin did back in the 1990s and completely forget about all their progressive promises and implement the policy that was even more severe than the Conservative government that preceded them.
Thanks again to our parliamentary reporter, Carl Nirenberg, for helping us navigate through this excessively complicated election. If the weekend's advance polls are any indication, you're going to need to know the election rules yourself.
Turn the tide. Turn the tide. They try to tell us black is really white.
If you think the staff at your polling location doesn't know the rules or isn't interpreting them correctly, challenge them. Remember, it's your right to vote. Don't get discouraged by these complicated rules which are designed to discourage you. Carl and I will be back on Thursday with some of his final thoughts heading into the final weekend. I'm Victoria Fenner. You've been listening to Election Sound Up.